Nice to see everyone today. I want to thank Faye and her granddaughter for singing, and Demeter for the choir, and absolutely beautiful. You're breaking her in good. And Maxine for being platform assistant today. And for the daily word reading that Diane did, I'm sitting there and I'm like, okay, is this is on for something else? Oh, okay. Okay. Thank you. A lot of mics here. That's why I was pushing it aside. Daily word reading. Diane, I'm sitting there, I'm listening to him, I'm like, that's my talk. And I gave this talk title to April 4 weeks ago, and I had not read ahead on daily words, so that was really interesting. It was a spiritual serendipity moment. But I trust everybody is manifesting prosperity now. I know, and that you know, that it isn't just about money in the bank or money in your pocket, that it is about this manifesting prosperity in all areas of our lives. April did ask me, as I mentioned several weeks ago, what my talk title was be, and I thought that after about 6-7 weeks now, I think Butch has been doing the prosperity lessons, powerful prosperity lessons, that it would be perhaps if we could change the topic this morning. So my title is, although it says in the program, because I change it all the time, it says Be Still and Know, but it's Be Still and Listen, which is a polite way of saying be still and shut it down. Right? We just want to shut it down. We just want to break it down, stop it, shut it down, be still, be in the stillness, because there's power in the stillness. So I want to share a short story. It's called The Best Kept Secret. And it's based on an old Hindu legend. This story is in the prologue of one of Eric Butterworth's books, Discover the Power Within You, which some of you are probably aware of or may have read. But it's according to an old Hindu legend that there was a time when all men were gods. But they so abused their divinity that Brahma, the chief god, decided to... is that the news? Because I'm going to talk about that. Decided to take it away from men and hide it where they would never find it again. But where to hide it became the big question, the challenge. So he gathered the lesser gods, and they had a council meeting to decide, where are we going to put man's divinity? And they came up with, we will bury man's divinity deep into the earth. But Brahma said, no, that's not going to work, because man will dig deep down into the earth, and he'll find it, and he'll take it up for himself again. So they said, okay, we're going to bury it in the deepest ocean. But again, Brahma, being chief god and the smartest, said, no, not there, because man will learn to dive, and he will dive into the deepest waters, search the ocean floor, and find it. Then the lesser god said, okay, I got it. This time we have it. We're going to take it to the top of the highest mountain on earth, and we're going to hide it up there. Brahma thought about it for a minute and said, no, I don't think that's going to work either, because man will eventually climb every high mountain on earth, and he will be sure to find it someday and take it up for himself. At that point, the lesser god said, we don't know what to do with it. We give up. We concluded we don't really know where to put it. And so Brahma said, here's what we're going to do. We're going to put man's divinity deep down inside himself, for he will never think to look for it there. Right? And ever since then, the legend says, man has been going up and down the earth and climbing and digging and searching and diving and exploring for something that is already within. Over 2,000 years ago, a man named Jesus found it and shared its secret. But the movement that sprang up in his name, the divinity in man, has been kept secret through the ages. Now, I love that story because it never gets old, because it holds such truth and enlightenment, yet requires constant reminder. However, the key to embracing this secret, this powerful secret, and knowing this truth, the key is being still and listening. Being still and listening. Metaphysical principle or truth is based on the concept that just as there are objective, discernible laws of the physical world, objective, discernible laws of the physical world, such as laws that are applicable in physics and science and medicine, mathematics, aerodynamics, there are also laws that are objective, discernible of consciousness, objective, discernible laws of consciousness. And since mankind has long understood the aspects of how the physical world functions, we can conclude that if we understand the way the world operates, we can then will power, use our knowledge, and will this power within our world. Since the idea of metaphysics has to do with the objective, discernible laws of consciousness, the same thing applies. The more you understand them, the more you can use laws of consciousness on your behalf, and the more you are empowered. And silence is a tool, a powerful tool for stillness. And my hope is that this idea of the power of stillness and the way God operates through stillness and the cultivation of stillness in our lives is something that you can benefit from. I'm hoping you understand the power of stillness in your own lives, that this can be a power that you wield. So today's Sunday is the beginning of the week, and it's where we set our intention for the week. It's where we set our consciousness in a way that really enables us to move into a state of mind, a state of consciousness, where we literally set ourselves up to win spiritually, where we set ourselves, position ourselves to overcome. So this morning, we are going to set our intention to be still and to listen, to shut down the noise, to empower our minds to discover our secret and embrace our divinity within and find some peace. Clearly, that's got to be a very good idea right now during these times. The chaos of the world, the country, the noise, the stress, the divisiveness, the fighting, the cultural disharmony. We are bombarded daily by all of this. And this can be in addition to challenges in your personal life or your professional life, as well as family relationships. It's a lot. It's a lot to deal with. So, like Butch and Pam, I watch a lot of TV, I watch a lot of movies, and I'm at a point now where I cannot watch TV news or news on the computer if I'm watching the TV without gripping my remote control now. I'm sitting there and I'm just squeezing the remote because I don't want to throw it, right? So I'm holding on to it, but it's crazy, this energy that's building up in me, this negative stuff that I'm constantly seeing and hearing. It feels like the center is not holding. It's a line from a poem. I can't remember the rest of the poem, but I remember the center is not holding. And the country and the world is just spinning out of control. It's difficult to find our personal peace when there is such chaos, such negativity everywhere around us. And when we buy into it and the mind starts agreeing with the chaos, identifying with it, internalizing it, squeezing the remote, well, how can we find or feel peaceful then? How can we be still with all this going on? It's like a pull into a belief that somehow if we become a part of the chaos, if we start engaging with it, then we think we can fix it, that we can somehow stop it. But that's not true. What is spiritually true is the only real antidote to chaos is stillness. The only antidote to chaos, to negative energy, is stillness. As long as you are in the midst of the chaos, in the realm of doing, or thinking you're going to do something, there is no peace to be found there. We must resist the negativity, resist the chaos. We must resist becoming a part of it. It's just like Jesus when he was standing on the boat, in the boat, and he put his hand up and he said, "Waters, be still. Waters, be still. Get thee, Satan, behind me." Metaphorically speaking. In other words, thoughts of fear and anxiety and thoughts of chaos and negativity, all thoughts which create this kind of craziness, just get behind me. Go away. Now, when you enter into a realm of chaotic circumstances or a realm of negative energy or become a part of the negativity in order to try and fix it, just know you will not fix it. And I want you to listen carefully to this. The reason being is that an idea does not leave its source. An idea does not leave its source. As long as we are embroiled within the thoughts of chaos, there is no way to interrupt the patterns of negativity which result from those very thoughts. What we must do internally is to become still. Put our hand out and say, "May this storm cease now. May this storm cease within me now." Now, here's the tricky part with so much going on. Oftentimes when we attempt to do this, and the mind is saying, when we try to become still in the midst, mind is saying, "I don't have a lot of time. I have to deal with this storm right now. I really don't have 15, 20 minutes to be still right now and go into a meditative state." And remember, you're not in the quiet of your bedroom at home doing your meditative practice. You're in the middle of it. But there is so much storm going on right now. I can't waste a minute. I got to jump in. I got to fix this. I don't have time to get still while this is raging around me. But what is really happening at that moment is that we are being drawn, being pulled into an almost addictive tendency to be in the chaos under the complete illusion that it will somehow help fix, that we can somehow help fix it. But guess what? The forces of chaos That energy, the force of chaos, it wants you. It wants every one of us. And it's constantly in play. That's how energy operates. Every moment is a temptation, a pull, and we are either being enticed to heaven or we are being enticed to being in hell. Now, there are two ways to cultivating stillness. And one has to do with the general state of our lives and why it's important to pray and meditate and carve out time to establish a discipline to have a daily spiritual practice in order to elevate our consciousness, right? And you do this whenever, you know, the time you allot for it works for you, works for your life, works for your schedule, whether it's in the morning or in the afternoon, in the evening, night, whenever it works for you, it's important to have that practice. But the other way is to cultivate a moment-by-moment stream of consciousness in real time. When it's happening in real time, a moment-by-moment stream of consciousness. Because in any given instance, when the chaos or the challenge is raging, you don't have to I'm going to take a 15-20 minute leave or 15-20 minute time out. You probably won't have time to do that. But in any given moment, the mental discipline and benefit of having a spiritual practice is to be able to withdraw from those forces real time in the moment. It is a state of mind power. We go within, find your center, be still, touch your heart. If you are engaged in some form of chaos or anxiety or frustration, then you are in your head. Touch your heart. Come back to the center point of truth. For in the Bible it says, be still and know that I am. That's a center point of truth. It's about setting a high intention to seek the flow of God's love in the moment. And the flow of God's love is a universal principle. It's an objective, discernible law of consciousness. It is not just a metaphor. The flow of God's love is an actual energy unfolding. And it does not work chaotically. It works peacefully. It works serenely. And it is totally corrective. And it is healing. It is a laser-like focus on all that is the highest level of good and peace and love for all humans, past, present, and future. Our job is to align our minds with this flow. When our mind is not within that flow, we are working within chaos to bring about peace. If we are not within the flow of God, then we become a part of the chaos. And though we are going to set our intentions, as I said earlier this week, Sunday, beginning of the week, for committing to this, for the week coming, upcoming week. There is, however, a line in the Course of Miracles which it says, your good intentions are not enough. Your good intentions are not enough, but your willingness is everything. Your willingness is everything. Good intentions alone are not enough. You need both. Because bringing the old consciousness with good intentions alone of trying to fix it doesn't fix it. Willingness, however, to give up all thoughts, to cultivate a mental emptiness, right? To let go, to release the attachments, is the only way to stand powerfully in the midst of the challenge. To stand powerfully in the face of chaos. And you know, it's very counterintuitive, because you feel like you're really exiting the situation, exiting the drama of what's going on. But the truth of the matter is, you are finding, you are seeking a transcendent point of victory. You're not withdrawing. You're seeking a transcendent, a higher point of victory, a transcendent point of triumph. I remember one of my teachers said that God doesn't give you a way to defeat others in a battle. That's not what God's going to give you. Oftentimes that's what we're seeking, but that's not what you're going to get. God's intention, God lifts you above the battle, lifts you above the battlefield of life, where we, where we're constantly trying to win. In the battlefield, we're trying to win. God lifts you above that battlefield. The real spiritual win is to be lifted above the battlefield. When you are lifted above the consciousness of the battle, the chaos cannot dwell in your presence. When you're lifted above it, the battle itself is ultimately cast out. Because it's not a matter of anybody winning. Because God doesn't take sides. But when we're lifted to a place that is above the battlefield, the conditions of the battle, lifted above the conditions of the battle, they're simply dissolved. They're simply dissolved. Therefore, our power lies in the stillness. When we can tap into that stillness during any and all negative or disruptive situations, we can wield our internal power, which is both transformative and transcendent from the situation. So let's say you're in a discussion, or you're involved in a project at work and or with family, and a huge problem or disagreement crops up. Just not uncommon. It could be a big thing on the job, or it could be something personal in your life, but you have a strong reaction to it and a strong temptation to go there, to confront it, to deal with it, to address it, to fix it, right? One reason being that we have that tendency is that we've grown up in a society which vastly overemphasized the power of doing. Right? However, when we are seeking balance and correction, what we are really pursuing is the power of being, not doing, the power of being, which is every bit as important as the power of doing. We need the balance. Being first, then doing. So in metaphysics, it is key to understand cause and effect, right? It's a basic principle for the laws of principle of truth. And cause is the internal realm of being. And effect is the external realm of doing. Cause and effect. And if you only try to change the effect and you don't deal with changing the cause, there is nothing fixed. Nothing changes. Nothing's transformed. You gain nothing. The other person gains nothing but superficialities and temporary change. Remember, the metaphysical principle is ideas do not leave their source. As long as the source is negative, as long as the source is twisted, in a chaotic state of mind, the effect will ultimately be negative as well. The effect will be twisted as well. The real use of power is when we once again step back from the situation in order to set our intention, to set our focus. It's just like when you're going to take a picture, when you've got your phone or a camera, and you're going to get it just right, you're adjusting, you step back, you move it a little bit around, You're trying to get a clear focus. We have to step back into the internal realm of being. You cannot get properly focused on a situation by entering into the middle of it, the external aspects of it. So we be still and we wait for the answer, which is in the silence, between the thoughts. In the silence, between the thoughts. Thoughts, silence. Thoughts, silence. That's how it's going to work. Unless you have an extremely long-term discipline practice of meditation every day, where you have trained your mind and disciplined your mind to shut it all out. When you're in the moment, it's very challenging to do that. So it's going to be thoughts, silence, and that's where we'll find the answer. So we close our eyes and we get still. And after a few moments, what typically happens, like I said earlier, especially when we're in the midst of it, it's like, God, I kind of need the answer right now. I don't have a lot of time here. I have to get back into this discussion. I've got to win this disagreement, this argument. I've got to reply to this text. I got to answer this email. I got to return this phone call right now. Can we move this along? I got to fix this. I got to do something. I've got to be engaged. If you start doing and fixing before you have entered into this silence, then you are dealing with personal perceptions like who did what or who said what, or the expression on their face. As long as we are in that realm, we are embracing the external realm. And what is that? The realm of effect. We must withdraw. We must withdraw and become still and request peace. Let me be still. Put that remote down. Shut it down and listen for the truth. Thoughts, silence, thoughts, silence. And as soon as we go into a moment of stillness, which is where God operates, we can access the flow of all maximum good. And understand, we don't have to create the flow. The flow is created by God, but our power lies in aligning with it. We surrender that moment to Him. We simply say to God, this situation is in chaos. The conversation is in chaos. The discussion, the chatter is in chaos. And I cannot fix it. My personality can't fix it. But I surrender it. I surrender it. I release it into your hands. You just move into a moment of peace. And even if you struggle with having a consistent meditation daily practice, more time is set aside to have this meditation prayer practice, try to practice what I'm speaking of moment by moment. In the moment, just withdraw into a state of being in the moment where you can begin to cultivate this personal power. And what you will discover after a while is that the light begins to ascend. The light ascends in that moment. And metaphysically, the light means an understanding. It shifts. You got to shift in focus. You have a shift in thought. Light means understanding. And to ascend means it comes to the highest level of your awareness, your consciousness. So if you just take time in the midst of the chaos or emotionally charged discussions or awful political news cycles or criminal news cycles, if you just take a moment to step back, to be silent for a moment, whatever your thoughts are on the subject, give them up. Go into an emptiness, as I said. Go to God with prayer. Dear God, whatever my thoughts are on this subject, help me release my ideas of right and wrong. Help me forget my ideas of good and bad. Help me forget my position on this subject and come unto you with empty hands. I give up my attitudes. I give up my perspective. My perception could be wrong. God, you come in. One last reason it's important to go into the silence and find this truth is because truth isn't an either or thing. The truth is just often a combination of your take on it and my take on it, and the absence of judgment. It's the combination, your take on it, my take on it, and the absence of judgment. It's not either or thing. So seek stillness, shut it down. And when we do it as individuals, and when we do it collectively, the situation can take on a whole new perspective, a whole new energy. So our goal this week is to not only have the intention, but to be willing to be lifted above the battlefield of chaos, of stress, to be lifted above the battlefield of frustrations, fears. In this still moment, we see the light of God come upon our world, our country, our circumstances, our relationships. And we look within for our divinity, the best kept secret. And we use its power to be still and to know the truth. And so it is. Amen.